Let's turn back to Psalm 100. Psalm 100 is our text. We'll be here for a few Sunday mornings, working on a series of serving the Lord. And looking at this, it's a psalm that has been around for obviously a long time, but it is a beloved psalm within the church as it calls on us to praise Him. It's been called the Old 100th. And has been put to music as it is a psalm. But let's read our psalm, and we'll get into the service this morning. Just make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people, and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him, and bless His name. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for this time now that we have to focus on You and Your Word. Father, I do pray that we would set aside the cares and distractions of our lives that can so easily interfere with us hearing Your Word, of having You minister Your Word to our hearts. And Father, may they be put aside. May our hearts and minds be focused on You. May we be ready vessels for You to use as You would desire to use us. Like the lump of clay on the potter's wheel, may we be pliable in Thy hands. For You are molding and shaping Your children into the image of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You are doing a sanctifying work, preparing us, not only for this life and this world, but Father, ultimately, You're preparing us to be in Your presence one day. And so, Father, may we be yielded vessels in Your hands, a pliable mound of clay, that You may work Your perfect work, Your gracious and loving work in us. Father, for that soul that is here lost, draw them unto Thee. May they come to know Christ is their Savior, the only one who could save them. He died in their place for their sins. May they respond to that convicting, convincing work of the Holy Spirit. Father, we thank You for what You will do, and may we go forth in Thy grace, in Thy power, in Thy peace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we look at our passage again, serving the spirit of glad service is Paul, or as our psalmist notes, to serve the Lord with gladness. It's been kind of our piece that we've touched on in verse 2. But serving the Lord, truly, it is one of the greatest highlights for us as God's children that we can do. And so kind of ask ourselves, how are we serving the Lord? For He graciously calls upon us to come alongside Him in His work and do our part serving Him. I hope that we have realized at some point, and I think it helps keep us in balance, in realizing that we're not some great, wonderful thing that God's missing out because we weren't here prior to our life. God doesn't need us in His service. God's God. But He desires to work with us. He wants us to come alongside and partake in the work that He's doing. Because ultimately, as I've mentioned it as from the pulpit, I'm the physical person up here preaching. But I fully understand the work that God does in your heart is just that. The work that God does in your heart. It's not me. For good or bad. I mean, I have had people get upset with me and say, well, you said that to me specifically. No, I didn't. God did. Not me. I wasn't fingering you. I wasn't looking to do that. That's not me. It's God using His word and what's been said. So it's God doing the work. I understand that. And so, yes, I get the brunt sometimes, but I also get the blessings. Yes, God used his word in my heart this morning. And praise the Lord for that. That's what this is about. God using his word to deal with us, to help us grow, to mold and shape us, so that we can be pleasing in his sight and live for him. And so what a joy to do that and to see him at work, that he wants us to come alongside him in the work that he is doing, and he blesses us in the midst, and ultimately he rewards us for what he has accomplished. And so God is not only concerned with what we do for him, but more importantly, with the spirit in which we do it. It is, you know, so troubling to me, in a sense, to read the Old Testament and watch the history of the Israelites and realize that, for the most part, many of them were just kind of going through the motions. Seemingly like little robots, yes. I've got to offer up my sacrifices. Here they are. Boom. There we go. I don't seem to have any volume. Is it good back there? There we go. Now I can hear it a little better. Like I said, that's not quite where I hear it, but that's good. So that's not serving the Lord. That's serving ourselves. Going through those motions isn't really serving the Lord. But he notes here, as we come to verse 2, serve the Lord with gladness. As we noted, it's not that we have to, but that it's we want to. And that whole change there from I have to I want to is right here. It's a heart attitude. And when God has our heart, he's got all of us. And when we realize that we can serve the Lord with gladness, I can do this for God. And I can have his joy, his grace, his strength to accomplish what it is that God wants me to do. And it doesn't become a drudgery. And it is so hard to read at times and see that that's what the Israelites thought at many spots as they sought to serve the Lord. They saw it as a drudgery, complaining. I mean, obviously, I've never had manna. None of us have. Well, we may think certain things are manna. My wife thinks rice is manna. But we've not had manna. It stopped when they entered the promised land. About 3,000 years ago, a little more than 3,000, pushing 4,000, somewhere around there, 3,500 years ago, somewhere along there. But as it's described, it's angels' food. It's something that came from heaven. And you find the Israelites at one point saying, we loathe this bread. Something that God was giving to them 6 days six days out of the week, every morning, available for them to partake of. We read the description of it. Sounds pretty good to me. Does it taste kind of like honey? Oh, hey, we're talking good stuff here. And yet at a point they say, we loathe this. That which is perfect from God. Their heart wasn't there. And we can go through the motions and not have our heart there. And there is no joy, there is no blessing, there is no gladness in it. And so we need to get ourselves readjusted, if you will. But as we consider that, glad service rejects reluctant religion. It says, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. The command to serve with gladness confronts that service that is, yes, joyless, bitter, or merely mechanical. It begs the question, as I serve the Lord, am I doing it in gladness? Is my heart properly aligned to do with God what he wants me to do? Or am I just, you know, I'm going through the motions, I did it. I think we'll find ourselves with wood, hay, and stubble when we stand before God with that kind of heart attitude, with the things that we did for the Lord. And he'd much rather have you refined like gold, silver, and precious stones. But as we serve the Lord with gladness, it puts those things aside. Notice as we look at a few passages here in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 47, as Moses is preparing that generation that is there at the threshold of entering the promised land, he's instructing a new generation. It's been 40 years since they stood on the cusp, on the edge of the promised land. They were about to go in from Kadesh Barnea, but they sent the 12 spies in to look at the land. 10 came back and said, no, 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 no. We can't do this. Joshua and Caleb said, oh, yes, we can. God is with us. God will take care of this. We can do this because God's with us. And the Israelites said, no. And God said, fine. Next 40 years, you guys are going to die off. And we'll have a new generation to come. And so Moses is now preparing that new generation in Deuteronomy. And he notes in verse 47, it says, because thou servest not the Lord thy God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart for the abundance of all things. He's getting after them. You didn't. You should be. It is far better to serve with gladness, with joy, and gladness of heart. Because, yes, of the abundance. I mean, it is again, so sad to see the Israelites at various points in their time, even though they're rebelling against God, God is taking care of them in the midst of their rebellion. And they're seemingly oblivious to it, unwilling to acknowledge that. May we not follow suit. May they not be our example. May we learn from that. God is watching over you. God is taking care of you. And we can serve him with joy and gladness. Malachi chapter 1, verse 13, he notes, he asks these questions back and forth, trying to get the Israelites' attention here. You know, as we close out the Old Testament, he says, ye said also, behold, what a weariness it is. And ye have snuffed at it, saith the Lord of hosts. And ye brought that which was torn, and the lame, and the sick. Thus ye brought an offering. Should I accept this of your hand, saith the Lord? Malachi 1:13. Noting they were bringing some bad stuff, and yet they were saying, well, this is okay. It's fine. God said, no, it's not. This is not how you serve God. You serve the Lord with gladness. Paul notes to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7, every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. In chapters 8 and 9, Paul is addressing the grace of giving. Yes, physically, tithing, giving of our means to God's work. But he knows, he says, every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. We get our word hilarious from that underlying Greek word for cheerful. I mean, I trust that as the offering plate goes by, we don't put our offering in singing the hymn, God be with you till we meet again. That's not the hymn that we sing with that. We give joyfully. It's not of necessity. Does God need anything from us? No, he doesn't. But he does love a cheerful giver. One that gives out of a heart of love. And we see how God multiplies it. I mean, I have been saved for 52 years. 52 years or 50-ish years since there was the initial 2 years that I was out of church for a couple years after I was saved, before we got back into church. But I still am amazed at how God takes what we give as a church and multiplies it. I don't know how else to put that, but he multiplies it. We take care of our needs as a church family here. We give to missionaries that are around the world, and they are there serving the Lord as we are serving here. And we are benefactors of what God is doing through them on the mission field. And it continues to amaze me that God does that. He takes our little few mites and multiplies it and does a great and mighty work on his behalf. And we see that take place, week in and week out. And I stand amazed at that. That God takes what little bit I give to him and he multiplies it in his service. And so it prompts me, if you will, to, yes, serve in glad service. I can say that there have been times, not here, there have been times in the past when I admit, I have served and not been glad about it. And I know that I'm at fault with that. And I know not much was accomplished because my heart wasn't in it. And we ask the Lord for forgiveness. Say, Lord, restore my heart. Restore that joy. Bring it back. It's far better to serve the Lord with that gladness than to serve the Lord without it. There is no comparison. There is no rival than to serve the Lord with gladness. Because that glad service flows from delight in the Lord. Again, we're looking, who are we serving? We're serving the Lord, our God, our Creator, our Redeemer, our Savior, our friend, our Heavenly Father. And on the list that we could go to think of who our God is and what He is doing on our behalf. And so that joyful service is sustained when the servant delights in God Himself and not in the visible results. We as humans are so driven by results, aren't we? It kind of part and parcel with our life. Farmers, you look at the harvest. What is the result of the harvest? What kind of yield did we get? Was it a good yield? Was it a low yield this year? We're looking at the result. And usually that drives a lot, does it not? If it's a good yield, are you happy? Typically. If it's a poor yield, Are we still happy? Kind of not so much. Why? Because it was a poor yield. We are driven by that. Again, whether a farmer, I'm not just picking on the farmers. I mean, you look at anybody in production. Are you producing? I worked at a router bit factory for a while in my time between college times, owned by a German company. And the German company figured if the machinery wasn't running at 90% capacity, shut the machinery down. It's not worth running. Well, it was men running those machines. So we had better be running it efficiently. Otherwise, we wouldn't have a job. They wanted what? They wanted results. And if the results aren't good, that means not profit for the company, and that means no work for people because we're going to have to let you go. We are so driven by that, and too oftentimes we have that mindset then come into our Christianity, come into our spiritual lives, and we're driven by results rather than serving the Lord with gladness. Where do the results come from? Do they come from our effort? No. As Paul told the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, I watered, Apollos planted, and I'm kind of mixing those up, but noting, one of us plants, one of us waters, but who gives the increase? God. Serve the Lord. The results are His. And we can rejoice in that. Say, but I don't always see the results. That's for God to do. We will see the results in heaven. As we share the gospel, we are sowing the seed, we're watering the seed. We may never be the harvester of that particular soul. We may never be the one to see them trust Christ. It may be another person that's out sowing or watering that is able to be there and be the harvest, the person that sees the harvest take place. I mean, there are, goodness, gospel tracts, brochures, all sorts of materials that, you know, Lynn and I have put out personally in the churches that we've been a part of, that I have no idea what God's done with them through these decades. But the results are God. And I leave it in His hand. And we should leave it in His hand. And rejoice in what we are doing. Giving the gospel, sharing the gospel, showing a life that's been transformed by the power of God. And do so with, yes, delight in our Lord, because it's Him that we are serving. The results are His. Praise God if we can see the results in this life. But we're preparing for eternity. I have no idea what's, I mean, think of the places that I have been serving the Lord. I have no idea what's taking place still in North Carolina or South Carolina or Washington or Montana or India, Myanmar, Nepal. I don't know. But God does. He's keeping track. And one day we will all be gathered in heaven. And we'll get to see the results that God did through us. And I have a feeling we're going to stand amazed at what God did. Because we were willing to do our small part, and then God takes it from there and deals with hearts. And so it is to delight ourselves also in the Lord, as the psalmist notes in Psalm 37, verse 4. He said, "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart." We like to look at that last part. Ooh, the desires of my heart. Oh, wow. You got to get the first part first. Delight thyself also in the Lord. Where are you delighting? Delight in the Lord. You may find that your desires are changing because they become His desires that are far greater than anything that we could think of. But our glad service flows from that delight in the Lord. I'm serving my Lord. He is my delight. He is, again, my focus. He should be the center of my life, from which everything emanates. And it gives us then that serving Him with, yes, gladness. Again, because we want to. Because He is our delight. We see how He works and ministers in our hearts. Love what Nehemiah says in chapter 8, verse 10, as he's looking at the completion of things. He's gathered the Israelites. Then he said unto them, verse 10 of Nehemiah 8, "Go your way, eat the fat and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." We know that last phrase, but it's noted, why? Because of all that they had done for God. They rebuilt the wall of Jerusalem, a city that lay in ruin, that broke Nehemiah's heart as he's far away in a foreign land. And God gets a hold of his heart and puts that desire in it to go back, possibly where he's never been. Nehemiah most likely was born in the Babylonian exile. He's never been in Israel. But God put that in his heart and drew him there. And they see the wall rebuilt. And don't be sorry for all of this. For the joy of the Lord is your strength. God's been the one to bring us to this point, to see this accomplished. A mighty, incredible work. Again, many hands make light work. And you see all those people that are gathered to build this wall in 52 days. That's incredible, even by modern standards, let alone going back, 2,500-ish years, and having a city wall built in 52 days? Why? God did it. Yes, through the Israelites. But our glad service flows from that delight in the Lord. They had a mind to work, as Nehemiah will tell us elsewhere. They put their hand to the plow and they didn't look back. Paul reminded the Philippians in chapter 4, verse 4, "Rejoice in the Lord always." And again, I say rejoice, that word rejoice, that joy that he mentions often in that epistle. We are to be rejoicing. Why? Because we're a redeemed people. God saved us. That alone should cause us to be rejoicing and glad and joyful in our Lord for the rest of our lives. And yet He has done so much more for us than just save us. He keeps us. He sustains us. He watches over us. A lot of things we may never know about until we get home to be with Him in heaven. Of close events that we didn't know took place. But our glad service, yes, flows from delight in the Lord. Our glad service witnesses, yes, to the goodness of God. When believers serve gladly, they display the worth, kindness, and beauty of the one that they serve. We're reflecting our God. Is it not easy to tell when we see someone doing something for us that is out of a heart of love, joy, gladness, as opposed to, yeah, I've got to do this. Mom and Dad told me to. I think we've all seen that. We know it. Whether we acknowledge it, whether we speak about it or not, we know the difference of how somebody does something that is joyfully doing it because they want to, as opposed to someone that has to, but their heart's not in it. We see the difference. And we react differently, do we not? It is a joy to watch someone serve joyfully. I mean, it gladdens my heart, yes, as a pastor, to see that take place. But, you know, even when I'm not here amongst us to see that take place, it gladdens my heart when I see somebody serving. It may be a waiter or a waitress. It may be somebody working on my car, doing something else, and see that they're doing so with gladness. It brightens my heart. Because, one, it's a little unusual. But what an opportunity we have, because it does witness to the goodness of God. Because, yes, we display the worth, kindness, and beauty of the one that we serve. I serve with gladness. I serve with joy. I serve because I'm serving Him. And He blesses and meets my needs. He is the joy that I have. I love Him. I serve Him because I want to. And we get to reflect the Lord Jesus Christ to a world that is so desperately in need of that. A saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the Sermon on the Mount early on in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, Christ noted, He said, "Let your light so shine before men." Your light. Show the Lord Jesus Christ the difference that Christ has made in your life when He saved you. Show it. Let it be a light to the world. "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." You see, the things that we do bear witness to those around us. And it needs to bear, obviously, a positive witness for God. God's doing the work. And we can rejoice at how God uses us along the way, and we may get the glimpse of it at times. But we serve out of a glad heart. And we serve that we may, yes, shine the light. A lost and dying world that is dark in sin, walking in the blindness that is the lost. They need the Savior, and we have Him. He dwells within us, and He desires that light to shine brightly to a lost and dying world. You say, "Well, I'm not a pastor." I don't see that it said pastors. And let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Christ is speaking to the crowds. He's speaking to common, ordinary day people. This wasn't a pastor's conference. These are people gathered to hear Him speak. Let your light so shine. You will have influences in places and with people that I will never have an opportunity to minister to. And vice versa. There may be people that I minister to that you never have an opportunity to. And God uses all of us to share that light and to point them to the Lord Jesus Christ. May we do so and watch God at work in truly great and mighty ways. In 1 Corinthians chapter 16, in a couple passages, verses 8 through 11, and then 27 through 29, David is speaking. It's a psalm that he's giving to us, and we're kind of breaking it up. But notice some of these two passages. We find them elsewhere in a couple other psalms in different forms. But I want to take it here from 1 Corinthians 16. Verse 8 through 11 says, "Give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him, sing songs unto him, talk ye of all his wondrous works. Glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord." And also verses 27 through 29, and I didn't mark it in my notes where we make that change from the verses, so if you don't find it at verse 11, then quickly get down to verse 27. It says, "Glory and honor are in his presence. Strength and gladness are in his place. Give unto the Lord, ye kindreds of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness." Glad service witnesses to the goodness of God. It shows forth our God as we serve him in gladness. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 10 and 11 notes as Peter speaks. Similar, not exactly the same words, but similar. It says, "As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen." That God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ. As Paul told the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31, "Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God." That glad service witnesses to the goodness of God. We show forth our Lord Jesus Christ as we serve him, yes, with glad service, with gladness. Because yes, we want to. We want to serve the Lord in whatever way that he calls us to do. And so yes, are we serving our Lord from a heart of gladness, joy, love, reverence? Say, "Well, Pastor, no, I'm not." Why not? Truly, nothing is more precious to the believer than to be walking in God's will, enjoying all that he has for us. The most fulfilling life is the life that truly, yes, serves the Lord with gladness. God fills our hearts in ways that I think at times we will find amazing because we've served him. We've done so with a heart of gladness. May we do so because it is the better way of serving him than out of a heart of drudgery or need, necessity. God says, "Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing." Thankfully, he tells us in verse 1, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands." Our singing doesn't necessarily have to be on key, but it comes from a joyful heart. So may we do so. Let's bow for prayer. Father, we thank you for thy word. We thank you for this psalm. As the writer reminds us of serving you with gladness, to come before your presence with singing. Father, you are our God. You saved us. You keep us. You nourish us. You protect us. You watch over us as a shepherd to his sheep. We're your people. We can come before your presence with singing. Truly, may we be a people who show forth the Lord Jesus Christ. May we serve you with gladness. May it ring from our hearts because we've delighted ourselves in you. We've kept you as our main point, our center point, our focus. And truly, as we do have a glad heart. You are holy. You are just. You are love. And all these things and so much more become evident to us as you minister in us and through us, as you minister your word to our hearts. You mold and shape us. And you draw us close to you. And we thank you and praise you for that. Father, we know that it is so easy for the world and its influence to draw us away, to cause us to have wrong motives, to get our hearts and minds off of serving you in gladness. Father, may we seek your forgiveness and cleansing. May we put off that old man and put on the new. May we readjust our spiritual glasses, so to speak, and bring you back into focus in our lives. And may you restore unto us the joy of our salvation. That we would go forth in your strength, your love, your joy, your grace. That we may see you at work in us and through us. Father, do a work as we close our service. May we adjust things accordingly, seeking your forgiveness and cleansing as we have strayed. Encourage us as we continue on for you. Do a work now, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.